And I'm back with another episode of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. I don't know if the beginning of what I said was caught on here because it looked a little delayed in the start time. Hello, it is Jamise. I am back with another episode of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. And thank you for being here. I hope you got a chance to check out the last episode titled The Best 6 Minutes of My Life, where I talked about the 6 minute meditation that I did after I left home, arrived to the gym. Before I started the workout, I did the 6 minute meditation and felt a huge difference before jumping right into the meditation. So really adding an extra step right to the routine. Kind of slowing down the process, but slowing down in order to be able to speed up because I definitely felt more focused and attentive to my workouts and my moves, and I felt like I was able to get in the zone. And honestly, for the first time in a while, I really sweat during that workout. And I've done that workout before, and I think because I was maybe a little less focused, it's like the workout wasn't as effective. But I said that I wanted to come back and record a follow-up to that episode to talk about deep breathing meditations that where you do a body scan. So a body scan, deep breathing meditation. So before I kick us off with that, I wanted to share something that I've shared with a couple folks now, and I think it's worth sharing here so others can hear it and learn from it. But when we think about setting goals in our lives and pursuing things, aside from the importance of focusing on our mindsets and pruning our minds for that, which is a separate episode I can record, it's really important to understand why you're going after what you're going after and understanding what you'll be able to accomplish now that you weren't able to accomplish before getting the thing done that you just went after. I know that was a mouthful. Let me say it a different way. If there's a goal you want to accomplish, typically when you arrive at that goal, it will feel more like checking a box and getting something done than it will feel like you actually striving towards something and accomplishing something. If you have not already thought through why you are striving for it in the first place and how you expect it to feel when you got there. So many of us know that through visualization, you can close your eyes today and imagine yourself on a beach in your favorite bathing suit, in the sun or in the shade, laying in the chair on the sand, the water from the ocean waves crashing and the most relaxing sounds. If you put yourself in that, you can start to really feel as if you were there, even though you're not. The same is true for our goals. And so, if you say that you want to write a book, for instance, well, why do you want to write a book? Because if you just want to write a book to write a book, then you write the book, you check that box, and then it's like, what's next? It won't feel as fulfilling, as exciting. Or it won't feel like any of the emotions that you didn't take time ahead of time to establish as goals and interests for yourself and as the purpose for you pursuing that goal. When I think about my goal for writing my book, one of my goals was to be able to go on a book tour. I told a friend today, as someone who is not a rapper, a singer, doesn't do any performances, if I want to go on a tour, how else am I going to do it? It's like you write the book and you can go on tour. You don't have a book, you don't go on tour. You want to go on tour, you write a book. And so this is what I mean by like, okay, that's what you want to do. You want to write a book, but that's like a thing you want to do. What do you want to be able to do after that? What is writing the book affording you to be able to do then that you cannot do now? So once the book exists, you can do what that while the book does not exist? you feel you cannot do. And I'm about to challenge that a little bit. Maybe while writing the book, you can be on tour and you could be talking to people about the book you plan to write. But maybe selling books on tour is also a goal, in which case, again, you need books. Or perhaps you could pre-sell copies of the book on your tour. But these are just, I don't know, scenarios I came with, just came up with on the spot, trying to like chip away at the idea of the importance of deciding what it is that you want to do and is being made possible for you to do because you did that thing. And so the other reason why that is important is it relates to motivation. So you'll find that you are feeling more motivated and inspired to continue on the long haul of that journey when things get tough, when, you know, conflicts and issues come up, when you feel ready to give up, when you feel tired, when you know what your why is and your why extends beyond just that check mark, check box, finish line, you wrote a book. When you understand that you're writing a book to do a tour. And I think the reason why the holes I just poked in the book goal were kind of working is because maybe those whys were not strong enough. If you say your goal is to impact the lives of others through sharing the stories that you've written about, revised, gotten clarity on, the lessons learned, place them in a book available to sell to people on a tour, that is powerful. And so now you know why you're writing a book. When you spend those late nights writing, early mornings writing, sacrifice 30 minutes of your 1 hour lunch writing, whatever the case, there's purpose behind it. You want to have a positive impact on the lives of others. You want to inspire confidence in them. You want them to know that they can write a book. You want to empower them to let go of perfectionism. You want to teach them about the origins of perfectionism. You want to ensure that they don't fall into the traps of perfectionism that led to burnout like you did. You want to condemn and denounce self-condemnation and self-chastisement. You want to teach people the signs and symptoms of perfectionism. You want to take all this information that you have now that you learned downstream, and you want to start to bring that information upstream so that people have more access to it earlier and can be preventative in their burnout prevention efforts and can be preventative and proactive in their self-care and their self-love journeys, all because you wrote a book. So you see how that one goal of writing a book, which if you had a checklist, would just be one line on that checklist. But this adds so much context, color, and purpose behind it to help drive your reason for doing what it is you're doing. So you know why you're doing it. And so you can remember why you're doing it while you're in the thick of it. And so related to that, a conversation I had with someone about the reason why it's important to, not the reason why it's important to set goals, but the misconception people have about setting goals. In addition to the importance of mindset, which we'll talk about in a separate episode, people don't understand the need to answer the question, what will doing X help me to do that I cannot do already right now? But the other is relating to the path you take to get to your goal outcome. So the analogy I give is, it's important for you to know your destination because that is what will inform the mode of transportation you use to get there. So if you were at home and there was a bookstore at the corner of the block where you lived, but I didn't know that, and you came to me and you said, hey, I want a private jet. And all I do is just help you get the private jet. 20 years later, or multiple thousands of dollars later, once you have the jet, I ask you, well, where are you planning to go with it? And you tell me to this bookstore, and we look up the location of it, and it's at the corner. I will tell you, well, we could have gotten you a different mode of transportation to get you there. A tricycle would have worked just as well and taken a fraction of the time to obtain and a fraction of the cost for you to own it. And so that was an extreme analogy and example. But even if you told me you wanted to go to Sacramento and you were in San Francisco, if we had that conversation, we could help you to understand the different methods of getting there. Or you want to go to LA, you can drive, you can fly, you could take a bus, you could take a train. But depending upon what some of your other goals are and your reasons and purpose for traveling, that would inform which mode of transportation we chose. If you said that comfort was important for you, maybe we'll choose a flight. If you said you wanted to just relax and take your time getting there, maybe we would put you on a bus or a train. If you said you wanted to get some journaling and reading and writing done over an extensive period of time, maybe we would choose the bus over the train so that you would have more time to do that. But this is just intended to highlight the importance of getting into the details of your why and your purpose and understanding not just what you want to do, but why you want to do it and what doing what you are going to do will help unleash and unlock and make possible for you to do in the future that you're sure you absolutely could not do today if you didn't do that other thing. So, yeah, that's really helpful. That's really important. Your purpose, your why. The same is true for we talked about writing a book, but the same I would say is true for if you wanted to attract a mate and if you wanted to get married. I would even add if you wanted to have kids. Like, these are things worth thinking about and thinking more thoroughly through. If you want to start a self healing, if you want to start a self love journey and learn to heal, why? What is your why and your purpose for that? And what does that outcome look like? See it, feel it today, even before you get there. But that's my spiel on goals, goal setting, and the common mistake people make and the misconception they have about setting goals. I'm going to go ahead and transition us to the deep breathing body scan meditation. Hey Google, set a 6-minute timer called meditate.
Second time, meditate for 6 minutes, starting now.
So you want to start out by getting into a comfortable seated position. If you're sitting in a chair or on a couch, have your feet flat on the floor, have your arms, shoulders down, relax. Hands can be relaxed on your thighs. Hands, by your knees, elbows, and stuff on your thighs. And we'll start with some deep breaths. So you want to breathe in and out. And when you breathe in, you are filling your stomach with air. And when you breathe out, you're pushing all that air out. When you breathe in, you want to breathe in through your nose. And when you breathe out, you want to breathe out through your mouth. When you breathe in, as you breathe in through your nose and take that deep breath, when you do your breathing out, make it a big sigh, like a big sigh of relief. Make the breath so that you can hear it. And every breath doesn't have to be that way, but just get a couple breaths in like that. And remember, as you do these deep breaths, as you breathe in and you fill your stomach with air, and as you breathe out and you remove that air from your stomach, reminder that the breaths are coming through the stomach and not from the chest. So the chest is not moving in and out, the stomach is. Now, up until now, our deep breaths have maybe been on the length of about 3 seconds, 5 seconds, maybe even 6 or 7 seconds. Let's try to deepen those breaths even more to about 10 seconds in and 10 seconds out. And even if it's a bit of a fast count, as mine was, let me see what 5 seconds feels like. No, 10 was right. So let's keep it at 10 seconds. And if you're finding that the breath is not at 10, let's try to deepen that breath even more. Fill those lungs with even more air. Now, let's get into the body scan part now that we've gotten our breaths down. As you begin the body scan, I want you to direct your attention to the top of your head, and I'm going to just guide us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. So take your deep breath, inhale, and as you prepare for your exhale, I want you to send that breath directly to your forehead. Allow that breath to relax your forehead, to remove any stress, tension, or tightness that might have been there. For this next deep breath, I want you to send it directly to your cheeks. I want you to relax your jawbone, relax your mouth, and just allow your face to be relaxed. Send the next one to your ears. Now let's move down to our neck and our shoulders. Send the next deep breath to your shoulders. Notice if you feel any tightness in your shoulders. Maybe you start to twist your head around. Do some gentle neck rolls. For this next deep breath, I want you to send it to your upper back. And as you do, start to relax your shoulders some more. Take another deep breath and send this exhale to your arms above your elbows. And for the next deep breath, send it to your forearms, below your elbows. And I want you to send the next deep breath to your wrists, your hands, your fingers. And as you take the next deep breath in and you fill your stomach with air, send this deep breath to your stomach. Release the tightness, the tension, and rest in the gratitude.
Your meditate timer is up.
Stop. Rest in the gratitude of being here and taking the time to care for yourself and do this deep breath meditation. I'm going to continue us through, even though the 6 minutes are up. Send this next deep breath to your thighs, the front of your thighs, your quad muscle. Send this next deep breath to the back of your thighs, your hamstrings. So if you're sitting in a chair, the part that's touching the chair or the couch. If you're sitting with your legs folded, the part of your thighs that face each other. And for these last couple breaths, we'll do to our calf muscles, our shins. One last deep breath in for 10 seconds. And send the last deep breath to your feet, the heels, the balls, the toes, your feet. And while we're doing this meditation, you're in a safe place, you're at home, you're relaxed, you're not moving around, walking around, washing dishes, or driving a vehicle. So we had your eyes closed, but you can experience the ultimate relaxation. So I want you to open your eyes now as you come out of that relaxing meditation. And similar to before, you may have felt some tingling, depending on how stressed you were or were not. And I did not do research on the question how often you should do the meditation, but I did come up with a revelation for a good judgment on that. And a good judgment is when you find yourself doing too much, go ahead and pause and set a timer to do the meditation so that you can recenter yourself, regather yourself, you can get some clarity and find some focus so that you can stop running yourself ragged and so that you can operate with a more clear mind to understand what you need to do next. I actually was wondering what I should do next, and when I stopped to slow down my thoughts and I did a meditation tonight, it revealed to me to get on here to share what I shared at the beginning of this episode and to do part two of our 6-minute meditation. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here to share this. All honor and glory to God, who is head of my life, who is the reason I'm here, both on this podcast as an author, but also just recording this episode at this time. His grace and his glory made it possible for me to have these tools to use. And so I want to give him honor as the gift giver of these gifts. These, you know, so often we thank the gift of gratitude, the gift of stillness, the gift of breath. And I want to just thank the God who gave it to me, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with that, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for taking care of yourselves. And I will see you in the next episode. Stay blessed.